that we'll forever remember. Lord, we want to be your friend. We want you to delight in us. We want to be all pleasing to you. From today, let there be a turnaround in our lives in Jesus' name. Thank you, King of Glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, you agree with me that our sound system is sounding better now. You are welcome to one of our Friendship Sundays. Like I said, the best friend you can have is God. The best friend you can have is God. And today we are going to be looking at friends of God. I know that our time is fast spent. I know some of us are hungry already. I know some of us are beginning to imagine what's for lunch. And so I will try as much as possible not to take our time, so much of our time. But I believe that even in the next 10 or so minutes, that God can still bless us. And he will bless you today in Jesus' name. Open your Bible to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 11 to 16. These things have I spoken unto you that... Yes, John 15, 11 to 16. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Friends, here we come. Jesus is very categorical in some of the statements that he's made here. And I believe that there is no ambiguity about some of the pronouncements that he has made. But before I go into it, there's something that's striking here. He said, for all things that I've heard of my Father, I've made known unto you. That's just an icing. Which is to say, Jesus said, every word of God that he knew or he was aware of, he passed it on. Will you pass on the word of God that you know to somebody today? Are you too shy or too cultured to pass on certain things that you know of God? Our God is a loving God. Somebody say amen. He's a loving God. Our God is a consuming fire. Somebody say amen. What am I trying to say? Jesus passed on everything he knew about God. Will you take time to pass on all that you know about God to somebody? Without feeling embarrassed for God. Let God deal with it. It's his word. It's his embarrassment. Let him take care of his embarrassment. Pass on all that you know, because all that Jesus knew, he passed it on. Coming to friends of God, Jesus said, he said, this is my commandment. He said, greater love had no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. In other words, Jesus laid down his life for who? For who? For his friends. So in other words, Jesus did not lay down his life for the people who are not his friends. Somebody might just say heresy there, that Jesus died for all. But I didn't write this Bible. What it says is that he laid down his life for his friends. You may say heresy, that he laid down his life for all. When I was preparing this, do you know what God told me? The example God gave me. He gave me the example of this church. What is at the back of this place? We have transformers, power supply. And what God told me is this, that this church is so close to the set of transformers here. And we have power cables going from there to different places. We can have this church situated here for the next 30 years with the power grid passing by this place. If we don't connect to the power, we will live in darkness. Am I right? Jesus died for all. But only those who connect to him make his death and resurrection effective in their lives. So he died for his friends. And how do you declare yourself a friend of God? By accepting the salvation message. That is what you need to do what? To declare yourself his friend. But it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there. We'll get to where you go next. Somebody might say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God loved the world. He didn't say his friends. But I've just given you an example of how you can live in darkness when there is power all around you. Until you connect to him. And so God laid it in my heart to put John 3:16 this way. He said, for God so laid the power to salvation, redemption, healing, success, promotion, that whosoever plug into him through believing should no longer live in darkness but have eternal light. And that will be your portion today in Jesus' name. As you plug into him, he's the change maker. He will make a change to your life. He will make a change to your circumstance. But if we are going to be friends of God, it's not enough to come to him. We need to remain in what? In him. Where we have just read, Jesus said something. Let's look at John chapter 15, verse 14. Can we read it together? After 3. John chapter 15, verse 14. Are we all there? Okay. 1, 2, 3. Go. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Can we go again? Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Again. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Praise the Lord. So how do we become friends of God? By doing what he asks us to do. Can you just raise up your Bible this morning? Can you just raise up your Bible? Praise the Lord. Do you believe in what is written in the Old Testament? Do you believe in what is written in the Old Testament? Praise the Lord. So it's the commandment of God. Do you believe what is written in the New Testament? You do? Praise the Lord. It is the commandment of God. And what is Jesus saying this morning? He said, you are my friend only if you do these things. Old and New Testament. I want somebody to say with me this morning, say, Lord Jesus, I believe this is your infallible word. I believe it contains my destiny. And it contains where I am going. My hope for the future. My journey to heaven. I know that your words are true. They are yea, and they are amen. In it, I find life. In it, I find joy. In it, I find success. I will break through. Because your word says, no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue that rises up against me in judgment, I condemn. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. For my righteousness is of you. In Jesus' name. I am what the world says I am. And I will be what the world says I can be. Because the Spirit of the Lord is able to empower me. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. The Bible said, the only people who are friends of God are the people who do the will of God. And somewhere in Mark, Jesus was gathered with some people. And they came to him. And they said, behold, your brethren, your mother, and your brethren, they are waiting for you. And Jesus said to them, he said, these that do the will of my Father, they are my brethren. In other words, everyone who is connected into seeing that the kingdom of God come, into seeing, when I say kingdom of God come, I'm not talking about rapture. I'm not talking about rapture. What I'm talking about is this. You see, wherever a child of God is positioned, wherever you find yourself, wherever the will of God is done, wherever, you know, you don't tolerate anything that is outside God's will and purpose, the will of God comes there. Wherever God is being praised and lifted up, what happens? God comes there. He is present. The kingdom, you become an extension of the kingdom of God from heaven down to that place. That's why Jesus said when he was teaching his disciples to pray, he told them, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So in other words, everywhere we enforce the will of God, everywhere the will of God is being done, there is a direct connection with heaven. The kingdom of God will begin. And what did Jesus say to his disciples? He said, the kingdom is where? He said, within you. So in other words, where the counsel of God is being fulfilled, the kingdom of God comes down there. You become an extension of his kingdom. In other words, what I'm saying is this. Where the friends of God are located, the power of God extends there. Remember the word of God that says, where the word of a king is, he says what? There is power. And who said to him, what doest thou? Wherever God can find his friends, power will flow in that place. Power will flow through you in Jesus' name. The glory of God will flow through you in the mighty name of Jesus. You and I will become extension of his hand, his voice. When we begin to speak his counsel. Jesus died for his friends. Jesus made friends with those who will do his will. Enough of head knowledge. Head knowledge never, You see, in Hebrews, the word says, it said, for the gospel was preached to them as unto us. Right? It said, for the gospel was preached unto them as unto us, but they did not profit by it because it was not mixed with faith. You will profit by the word of God this morning in Jesus' name. I want to let you know that there is a menu here that God has prepared. That because of time constraint, I will just go through one or two things and I will close the service. We'll take the Holy Communion. Is that if we are going to be friends of God, one of the most important things, thank God for the word of God and the Spirit of God. Somebody quoted from Jeremiah today and said, look, I want to leave this word with you for this week. That you do what? He said you should make use of the telephone service of God. And the first thing that marks friendship is what? Is communication. Somebody will communicate with God today in the mighty name of Jesus. Communication is a powerful thing. That we commune with God, that we communicate with Him. And every friendship begins with communication. And you and I, before we became born again, what did we do? We communicated with God. And if you have not prayed the prayer of salvation, you have not communicated with Him. Every other prayer that you have prayed, it's not communicating with Him. The starting point is the prayer of salvation. Because the Bible says, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth, confession is made unto what? Unto salvation. Somebody speaks, somebody communicates, somebody says something. It's not enough to just imagine in your heart, but somebody communicates their desire. And say, Jesus, enter my life. Jesus, take control. The way I've been going, I'm tired of it. I don't want it anymore. I want you to come, take authority, take over. There has to be communication. And when we are in Him, and we communicate, because the Bible says, in Him we live, breathe, and have our being. When you are in Him and you communicate, you can communicate to situations. You can communicate to circumstances like Joshua did. He said, before the whole of Israel, said, sun, stand still, and moon, stand over the valley of Ajalon. Let nothing move. We want to finish the business of the day. You will not die before your time. I say, you won't die before your time. You will finish the business of the day. You know what? As a result of the communication, friends share secrets. The only way people can know that you are my friend is when you know things about me that other people don't know, right? Oh, yes. If what you know about me is what everyone else knows, we all read from the newspapers and something. If you tell me you are Kevin Rudd's friend, and you tell me what I've just read in the newspaper, that's what you know about him. I know that as well, so it doesn't make you special. What makes you special is what you do, what you know about this person. Go to Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. He said, let not the rich glory in his riches, nor the mighty in his might, but glory in this, that you have a knowledge of me. Secrets. What he has not revealed to the powerful, the wise, and the prudent, he has revealed to who? Babes and the suckling. There's a mystery in the gospel. And I'm telling you, we are limited because we have not tapped into the mystery in the gospel. We look at it from the point of view of what we can see, bread and butter stuff. But when God starts to reveal himself to us, we go beyond the barrier of the things that limit us and the things we can see. And that is why the things we can see will pale into its significance in terms of what we know God can do in our lives. And that is when things, a lot of things will not matter to us anymore. That was what happened in the life of Paul. It happened in the life of Stephen. When he was about being stoned to death, what do you think happened to him? Because he saw heaven. He saw heaven. He did not see the stones in their hands anymore. You will see the glory of God. I say you will see the glory of God. If you know what everyone knows about God, then you are not. God has to be, you are not his friend. He needs to be talking to you. And you know what? What men cannot understand or know, you need to be telling God to. You need to be communicating. You need to be revealing your secret. He already knows anyway. But he wants you to talk to him. That is why when we don't pray, we cannot call ourselves God's friends. When you come to God and say, Father, Lord, this is something I cannot tell anyone. In this, my circumstances, I know you are the only one who can change it. I want to speak to you. Because the Bible says, while you are yet speaking, you will hear. Praise the Lord. There's understanding. The only way you are compatible, you become compatible with somebody is when they show understanding towards you. You know, they know the things that upset you. They know the things that you struggle with and so on. That is what we call friendship, understanding. When you look at the parable of the talent, many of us just skimmed the surface. I told the people in our house fellowship, I said, look, if you remember the parable of the talent, when the man actually gave the money out to them, gave the talents out to them, what instruction did he give them? Can you remember what instruction he gave them? Huh? They were not asked to trade with it, though. Yes, he gave them. But the people who understood the desire of the master went and traded with it. In other words, that's why the Bible says, it says, to him that knows to do good and does it not, it's a sin. When you have an understanding of God, you will do what God expects of you. Some of us are waiting for God to appear to us like he appeared to Paul or Saul of Tarsus before we preach to somebody. We are waiting to have that experience that will shake us. He has already written his mind here. It's not until one spirit comes to kick you or something happens and you go blind or something before you know that there are certain things that the word of God expects of you and me. So understanding comes into him. Do we understand him? If we are friends, do we understand each other? Friendship involves giving and taking. It's an exchange of love. It's what? It's an exchange of love. God gave, we took. We need to give. God needs to accept. And I want to let you know that one of the things that would strengthen your bond of friendship with God. Like it strengthens your bond of friendship with other people is when they appreciate you for who you are and appreciate the things, the little things you do. That is why when we call for testimony, let's come out, let's give testimony to the group. It's not about any man. No man can change your life. It's only God. I happen to be a psychiatrist and I know now, one of the most difficult things to change is personality. Honestly, it's very enduring, it's very ingrained, but God can change it. Trust and integrity. Let me tell you, two people can never, never be friends again once they've lost their trust. Amos 3:3, can two walk together, I take to be agreed? It's not just agreeing, there has to be trust. And God loves those people who trust him. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5 to 8. Jeremiah 17, 5 to 8. The Bible says something that frightens me. In other words, God wants you to make him your absolute trust. He actually says, woe unto him that trusts in the arm of flesh. Jeremiah 17, 5 to 8. Please, I will close in the next moment. I want to read this because trust is very important. Once trust has been broken, forget it. It cannot work. It does, thus says the Lord, cursed with great evil is the strong man who trusts in and relies on frail man, making weak human flesh his arm, and whose mind and heart turn aside from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub or a person naked and destitute in the desert, and he shall not see any good come, but shall dwell in the parched places in the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. Most blessed is the man who believes in, trusts in, and relies on the Lord, and whose hope and confidence the Lord is. That is verse 7. Jeremiah 17, 7. It says, most blessed is the man who believes in, trusts in, and relies on the Lord, and whose hope and confidence the Lord is. In this jet age, in the era of Airbus A380, who is your confidence? Who is your trust? Who is your trust? Of course, to be friends, you need to have common interest. Is God's interest your interest? God is very passionate about his kingdom and his glory. Is that your passion? The glory of God. The glory of God. The kingdom of God. Is that your passion? If you are going to be God's friend, that has to be your passion. And of course, friends associate. Do you associate with him? In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, he said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to those that do what? That believe. I'm not ashamed. Are you ashamed? Can you freely associate yourself with him? You know what? Somebody who calls himself your friend must be in your fans club. Somebody who calls him your friend cannot be in the opposition party and be your friend and bring down and bring you down. He must be in your fans club. Wives, you must be the number one in your husband's fans club. Husband, the same thing. The best encouragement will come from you to your husband. And from you to your wife. Somebody cannot say he's your friend and not be in your fans club and talk you down all the time and bring you down. He has to be the one to sing your praise. He knows you. It's not as if he doesn't know those areas where you are struggling. He knows. But yet, he sees your good bigger than your weaknesses. What made David the man after God's own heart? Was he was in the fans club of God. He was one of those who sang his praises. He talked about the goodness of God. He talked about the saving grace of God. He talked about the power of God. He talked about what God can do. If you would declare his cancer, if you talk about his greatness, if you talk about his power, look, God will come down. He will come down to you today in Jesus' name. And you know, the other thing is this. I mean, another person is Job. Oh, I love Job for that thing, you know. Not for his suffering. I don't think I can take that much. But he said something. Even though he slays me, what did he do? Yet I shall praise him. Even though he does what? He slays me. Some of us, our friends haven't even done something, you know, and we say, yeah. You know, have to tear him apart. But he was a friend of God indeed. He said, even though he slays me, yet I will still praise him. That is a number one fan of God. That's what God wants from friends. And lastly, friends do what? They desire the presence of each other. If you call yourself somebody's friend, and each time you see him, you get angry with him, you feel irritated, then he's definitely not your friend. You have to rework that relationship and sort it out. Otherwise, there's something wrong. You cannot say somebody is your friend and not desire to be in the presence of that person. If you are a friend of God, you desire the presence of the Holy Spirit. You don't want to do anything that will grieve him. Look at Psalm 27 verse 4. Psalm 27 verse 4. What does it say? It's a mark of friendship. David was speaking there. As a mark of his friendship with God. He says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Do you desire to be in his presence? For example, when they say, let's go and worship God, let's go for, to the church, let's go. Do you desire? Is this a thing of joy for you? Or do you do it with reluctance? When they say God, well, we talked about divine commission this morning. When they say God is involved, is it your desire? Is it something you really want to do? He said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that I seek, that I may dwell in his presence. You will dwell in the presence of the Lord in the mighty name of Jesus. And lastly, can we just rise on our feet, please? Because friends desire each other's presence. Friends eat together. They share what they have. And they eat together. We are going to eat together.